You can also make the connection that the first three habits are the private victory. The front of your car is private. You're the only one that opens the bonnet of your car. Habits 4, 5, and 6 are the public victory. In the car, you allow others to get into your car. It's public. Habit 7 is outside the car. The seventh habit keeps everything else in check. Remember these habits. Read the book to get more understanding and retention and live them. As Stephen Covey said, habits can be learned and unlearned. But I also know it isn't a quick fix. It involves a process and a tremendous commitment. In this chapter, you've been able to remember 21 bits of useful information. These methods help you to organize information more clearly, and therefore you will be using more of your memory power and potential. All the methods in this book help you to store information that can be used. You can make many more storage compartments in and on your car. If you think about it, you can use every detail of your car to find at least 100 places to store new information in your memory. You can also use any other forms of transport, buses, trains, airplanes, ships, or even spaceships, as storage files or compartments. Chapter 7. Use Your Body to Remember. The music of your life is far better played with all the fingers of your multiple intelligences performing their magic on the keyboard of your existence. That's a quote from Tony Buzan. That's taken from Tony's book called Head First. In his book, he talks about how we have at least 10 intelligences. We don't just have one way of being clever, but at least 10, and probably more. I like to remember these intelligences to remind myself how incredible we all are, and to focus on improving them daily. But before I get ahead of myself, let me demonstrate how to remember these intelligences with another system. It's called the body method. It's similar to the car method, but this time we are using parts of our body to store the new information. Your body is another great long-term storage compartment. You're in it every day, and you know it well. There are plenty of storage compartments that you can use, but for demonstration purposes, I'm only going to use 10 places. With this method, we're going to place 10 key bits of information on our body. The information is a bit more abstract, so it'll require you to think more creatively. So let's give it a go. The first place that we're going to store information on is our feet. The first intelligence is creative intelligence. So I want you to imagine that you're standing on a big, bright light bulb. A light bulb always reminds me of creative ideas. And it's burning your feet. To strengthen the association, you can also imagine you're painting a beautiful work of art on your feet. On the second place, your knees, we're going to store personal intelligence. Now imagine a big purse. Sounds like personal. On your knees. Create a bit of action with this picture. Imagine opening the purse on your knees and your knees come flying out of it. Personal intelligence is about taking responsibility, so own the purse on your knees. The next storage compartment is your thighs. Here we'll store social intelligence. Imagine people having a big party. Social. On your thighs. Really see the party. And feel it happening on your thighs now. The next place is your belt, or hips, and we'll store spiritual intelligence there. Imagine a beautiful angel on your belt, or that the angel is buckling your belt for you. Angels remind me of spirituality. Now review all the previous images from your feet to your hips. The words are creative, personal, social, and spiritual. Next is your physical intelligence, and we'll store it on your stomach. Imagine you get physical. Start doing sit-ups, and your stomach all of a sudden becomes muscular. It becomes the perfect six-pack. Imagine in your left hand your sensual intelligence. Here you can imagine a snotty nose, ears, and eyes to remind you of all your senses. Then in your right hand place sexual intelligence. Here you can make up your own picture. Now let's review quickly. We have creative, personal, social, spiritual, physical, sensual, and sexual. The next place is your mouth. Imagine big, bright, colorful numbers flying out of your mouth. Numerical intelligence. Or you can only speak in numbers. On your nose, see a spaceship landing on your nose and forehead. Spatial intelligence. Or see a spaceship flying up your nose. Finally, on the top of your head, imagine writing words on your hair, or your hair starts talking. That's verbal intelligence. Let's review the body list. The creative and emotional intelligences. Legs create motion. That's to remind you that the creative and emotional intelligences are stored on your feet and legs. Number 1, creative intelligence. 2, personal intelligence, self-knowledge, self-fulfillment, and understanding self. 3. Social intelligence. And 4. Spiritual intelligence. The bodily intelligences, all stored on the biggest part of your body, on your torso. 5. Physical intelligence. 6. Sensual intelligence. And 7. Sexual intelligence. Then there are the traditional IQ intelligences, the head intelligences. 8. Numerical intelligence. 9. Spatial intelligence. And 10. Verbal intelligence. Tony Buzan says we are now entering the intelligence age, so it's vitally important that you know more about your amazing intelligences. The body method also helps you structure the information so that you can easily jump in and out of the material. When you read head first, the body list will act as a powerful memory matrix that will attract more information and improve your understanding and recognition of the content. If you hear any other list of intelligences, like Howard Gardner's, you can easily slot the information into its relevant compartment. When you hear people discussing IQ, you'll also immediately know and remember that IQ only tests 3 intelligences, the head intelligences. Paul McKenna said, "Most of us have been taught to think that we are either intelligent or we are not. But the definitions of intelligence we learned at school were built around the specific types of intelligence that are most valued at school, verbal intelligence and numerical intelligence. The body method was originally invented by the ancient Greeks. You can use this method to remember information for exams, work, shopping lists, or any list of information. You can even use it to remember things when you don't have a pen at hand, like when you're in the shower. I just used 10 places as an example, but you can use your back, your ears, eyes, nose, you can use it all. Just make sure you connect the two in a humorous way. Remember the C principles, and that you remember the order. I've been able to use this method to remember 50 bits of information. I like to use this system to remember information so that I can consistently look at the information and have it at my fingertips." Chapter 8, Pegging Information Down. And we begin with a quote from Friedrich Nietzsche. "The existence of forgetting has never been proved. We only know that some things don't come to mind when we want them." Have you ever had this experience? You smell something and instantly your memory takes you back to another time? The smell is a link to the experience. Or you hear a song and a whole stream of memories are released from your mind. We can consciously take control of this reminder principle to create another system for our memory skills toolbox. This is the first system that I ever learned, and it introduced me to my memory potential. It worked so well that it seemed like a trick, and ever since that day I've been hooked on the power of my memory. I hope it has a similar effect for you. It's called the PEG method of memory. We're going to explore the power of your associative mind. We're going to learn 2 new PEG methods of memory. The first is called the rhyming PEG method, and the other, the shape PEG method. These secrets were brought to our conscious awareness by John Sambrook and Henry Herdson in the late 1700s. These methods are very simple and effective. They will provide you with a method that can help you remember 40 or more bits of information in a short space of time. You can even remember the information in random order and by number. Let me explain the first method, the rhyming pegs. The pegs act in much the same way as clothes pegs. They keep information hanging around in your mind. The pegs themselves must become part of your long-term memory for them to work. Remember, you always need your long-term memory to assist your short-term memory. With this method, you associate new information to long-term memory pegs in your mind. The pegs also act as compartments or files for your new thoughts. The method is simple. It makes memory pegs out of rhyming words, and we'll use the following rhyming words as mental files. 1 rhymes with the word bun. 2, shoe. 3, tree. 4, door. 5, rhymes with hive. 6, sticks. 7, heaven. 8, gate. 9, vine. And 10, hen. Now each one of these pegs can become compartments to store new information. You link the peg using the C principle to the words that you want to remember. In Anthony Robbins' life-changing book, Awaken the Giant Within, he has a list of the 10 emotions of power. I want you to use this new system so that you can hold these emotions in your mind. Think about them daily, because personal development only happens when you can remember what you need to act on. The 10 emotions of power are love and warmth, appreciation and gratitude, curiosity, excitement and passion, determination, flexibility, confidence, cheerfulness, vitality, and contribution. Remember to make the images illogical. See the information in your mind for a few seconds. Take your time and make the association strong. You can also draw an image to help you experience the information more. 1. Bun. Imagine a heart-shaped warm bun, symbol for love. Or imagine that thousands of warm hearts are flying out of a bun. Really visualize it, and you'll remember that 1 is love and warmth. 2. Shoe. Imagine that a preacher is grating a shoe with a cheese grater. I used a preacher to remind you of appreciation, and grater for gratitude. 3. Tree. Imagine a cat in the tree. Don't make it logical. Maybe imagine that the branches look like cats. Cats are hanging off the branches, or cats are growing out of the tree. Curiosity killed the cat. So 3 is curiosity. 4. Door. Imagine an excited person bashing down your door. Or the door is so excited it jumps up and down and opens and closes. Then you squeeze passion fruit down the excited door. 4 is excitement and passion. 5. Hive. Imagine determined bees or determined terminators trying to break open a beehive. Bees are a determined nation. Determination is 5. 6. Sticks. Imagine hitting a flexible person that's doing the splits with a stick. Or really feel how flexible the stick can be. 6 is flexibility. 7. Heaven. Imagine heaven is full of confident people. See them walking tall with confidence that they're in paradise. 7 is confidence. 8. Gate. See a smiley face-shaped gate. You cheerfully open the cheerful gate. 8 is cheerfulness. 9. Vine. See vitamins growing on a vine. As you eat these vitamin grapes, you feel your sense of vitality improve. 10. Hen. Imagine a hen giving you presents. She's a contributing hen. 10 is contribution. Now really see each linked picture in your mind and make it clear. You should now know these emotions forwards, backwards, and in random order. Test yourself to see if you have them all. Practice feeling these emotions because you become good at what you practice. Anthony Robbins says you're the source of all your emotions. You're the one who creates them. Plant these emotions daily and watch your whole life grow with vitality that you've never dreamed of before. The rhyme method can be extended by finding more words that rhyme with the number. For example, 1, bun, sun, tum, gum, and gun. With this method, you can easily create a peg system that you can use to store up to 30 bits of new information. Pegging also has no limits. You can create other lists, too. Here's the second short peg list that you can use. The shape system. It converts numbers into concrete shapes. It works in the same way as the rhyme list, only this time the pegs are shaped like the number. We're not going to do an exercise with this system because you've already learned the principle in the rhyme list. Use this list on your own to remember 10 bits of new information. Play with it and have a bit of fun. The shape method just gives you another option to use. You can find the list in the audiobook companion document. These peg lists create so many new possibilities, you can create all kinds of peg lists. You can use any list that's already in your long-term memory. You can make up words for each letter of the alphabet. For example, apple, bucket, cat, dolphin, etc. Use any list that you already know well. Your favorite football players, superheroes, pop stars, or any list that you can remember in order. Enjoy using this method and find new ways to improve it. Chapter 9 is called In the First Place, and we open it with a Daniel T. Willingham quote. Whatever you think about, that's what you remember. Memory is the residue of thought. The system that you're about to discover is the most incredible tool you'll ever learn. It will help you grow in ways that you could never imagine. It is so simple. It has been around for 2,500 years, and yet few have harnessed its potential. You can use this system to remember any information and mountains of it. It takes practice, but once you use it, you'll never look back. This method is the original and still the most effective of all the systems. Using this system is as easy as remembering a journey. Some people think this method is too simple to work, but it works because it doesn't overwhelm you. It's the same process as the car and body list, but only this time we're using places or markers on a location, journey, or route to store information. Here's how it works. Number one, prepare in your mind an organized location. For example, a house layout, a journey, or a shopping mall. Number two, create markers or places on this location, same as what you did with the body and car list, in an easy-to-follow order. Number three, make a clear image using the C principles of the information that you'd like to remember. Number four, place each item you're trying to remember on each of the marked locations. In short, it's as simple as finding a place like a route, journey, or building in your mind to store the information. Then you store it. This system makes remembering large amounts of information as easy as remembering a trip to the nearest shop. You're using the formula again, long-term memory plus short-term memory equals medium-term memory. Let me introduce you to the journey method with a short exercise. We are going to store 12 useful principles from one of John C. Maxwell's books. I really enjoy his books because they're always very well organized and therefore making storing information easier. He normally creates a summary list of the topics that he'll cover, and then he writes in more detail about each topic. You can use the systems to remember all of his lists and laws and become an expert in leadership. Once the information is in a memorable matrix, it'll start to attract more information to it. It helps long-term storage and use. When you have it in your head, it is so much easier to use because what's the use of learning information if you can't recall what you know? In his book, Today Matters, he shares 12 keys that you can focus on daily to get more success and fulfillment in your life. As he says, you'll never change your life until you change something you do daily. He calls them the Daily Dozen. Here are the keys. Number one, attitude. Number two, priorities. Number three, health. Four, family. Five, thinking. Number six is commitment. Finances is number seven. Number eight, faith. Number nine, relationship. Generosity is number 10. Values, number 11. And number 12, growth. Most people will repeat the list of information over and over again and try to force it into their memory. Rote learning and constant repetition creates an aversion to learning, and it's frustrating. The more you can encode information into your memory, the more effective the learning. Let's use a method to find the fun in frustration. Now all that we have to do is to focus attention and connect each thought to a place. Try this little exercise with me. I'm going to be using four rooms in my house as a journey to give you an example of how you can use this system. The rooms are compartments in my mind that I can use to store new information. Let me guide you through the house and let's store the information together. Make sure that your markers are all in an easy-to-follow order. Then review your markers to make sure you have clear storage compartments. The places must also be near each other, but nicely spaced out. Here's a mental map of four rooms in my house and 12 places that we'll use. And they are room number one, kitchen. Number one, washing machine. Number two, fridge. Number three, stove. Room two, TV room. Four, chairs. Number five, the TV. Number six, exercise bike. Room number three, bedroom. Seven, mirror. Number eight, cupboards. Number nine, bed. The last three items are in room number four, bathroom. Number 10, bath. 11, shower. And 12, toilet. You can see the picture in your audiobook companion document. If I gave you a box with 12 objects in it, would you be able to place it on the furniture in my house? Of course you would. Now all we do is turn the information into something tangible, like an object, and then place them in the room. We start in the kitchen. The first word is attitude. Imagine someone with a really bad attitude jumping into your washing machine. Clean up his attitude in the machine. See it. At the next place, imagine writing all of your priorities on the fridge door. Use a permanent marker and think about how your priorities are permanently stored on the fridge door. Imagine a healthy bodybuilder making an apple pie and shoving it into the stove. The apples are also a reminder for health. So what was in the washing machine? On the fridge? At the stove. Now we move to the TV room. The first place there is the chairs. Imagine your whole family is jumping up and down on the chairs. The more illogical the image, the more it will stick. The second place is the TV. Imagine a thought bubble coming out of the TV because it's a thinking machine. It also influences our thinking. The final place in the room is the exercise bike. So imagine combing the exercise bike. Reminds you of commitment. It's also a commitment to use the bike. In my bedroom, the first place is the mirror. And here, imagine money flying out of the mirror. Your finances are a mirror of your productivity. Whatever represents faith for you, place it inside the cupboard. Put faith on every shelf or hanger. The next word we want to place in our memory journey is relationships, and that is on the bed. Okay, you can make your own picture there. The final room is the bathroom. See a genie jumping out of the bath, and he gives you what you wish. The genie giving reminds us of generosity. Imagine the shower is made out of gold, or you open the taps and gold runs out of it. Gold has great value and represents values. At the last place we imagine, a tree growing out of the toilet for growth. What was the word connected to each place? Room 1, kitchen. Number 1, washing machine. Number 2, fridge. Number 3, stove. Room 2, TV room. Number 4, chairs. Number 5, TV. Number 6, exercise bike. Room 3, bedroom. Number 7, mirror. 8, cupboards. 9, bed. Room 4, bathroom. Number 10, bath. 11, shower. 12, toilet. Excellent. That is now your first memory route or journey, and it will begin to open your mind to the possibility of having a perfect memory. You've just learned the 12 keys in John Maxwell's book, Today Matters, and it was as easy as walking around my house. You'll remember all the words if you have connected them properly. Go through it a few times and you'll know the daily dozen. You'll get better results with this method if you use your own environment because you're more aware of the order of the places. Review the list backwards and you'll notice that it will all still be there. By reviewing it backwards, you make the images clearer for your memory. If you made clear images and placed them on the route, the list will be very memorable. This method helps you to see the big picture and zoom into the details. The concepts are brought to life and become concrete. It's always easier to remember something that is experienced in your mind. We remember what we think about. Now, think about this information that you've learned. Buy Today Matters and focus on making small changes in these areas daily. And remember it to live it. This journey or route method shows you what's possible. Every great memory person uses this method more than any other. It is so effective because you can make thousands of storage places. Think about how many markers you can make. We all have a brilliant memory for journeys. You've visited many places in your life. You can use buildings, museums, schools, shopping centers, and almost any location that you know. Make sure they're places you know well, that have significance for you, and they have lots of variety. You can make your routes as long as you want. You can have a place or route for every subject you're learning. Remember to have fun. This system will change the way that you learn forever. The only effort is trying to improve your ability to make images and placing it on a familiar mental journey. It'll feel like you're cheating. It's like having crib notes or a teleprompter inside your head. The journey is like the paper and the images are like the ink. Your imagination can create any information on a familiar journey. It'll change your life. You can use it to remember all kinds of information. I've helped medical students, law students, pilots, managers, and business people remember all kinds of information with this method. I used this method to store the first 10,000 digits of pi. A friend of mine, Dr. Yip Sui Chui, remembered the entire Oxford Dictionary, 1,774 pages, word for word with this method. Anyone can store an unlimited amount if they choose to spend the time. Some people say, I'll run out of space. If I gave you a truck full of objects to place in a shopping mall, would you be able to do that? Of course you would. If you look for it, you'll find thousands and thousands of places just waiting to be used in your mind. There are no limits to this system, only limits in your own thinking. The important thing is that you practice. The more you practice, the better you'll get. Linking Thoughts is the title of Chapter 10, and it begins with a quote from Louis L'Amour. He said, "No memory is ever alone. It's at the end of a trail of memories, a dozen trails that each have their own associations." In the previous chapters, we learned to bring information to life and to store it in a long-term memory compartment system. Now, in this chapter, we're going to learn to link more thoughts together. It's a way to direct attention and to strengthen your imagination and your ability to associate concepts. Your mind is an associating machine, and it has no limits. I often hear people say, "Oh, do you learn by association?" The answer to that is we only learn by association. Learning is connecting new information to old information. It doesn't happen any other way. It's creating a relationship between the known and the unknown. And the more you know, the easier it is to connect more information and get to know more. Now, let's memorize a list together to experience this method. It'll seem silly, but stick with it, and I'll make a point. This story takes longer for me to explain than what happens in your mind. Listen to it and remember to use the SEE, the C principle. I want you to imagine that you're washing a tin. Really see it in your mind. As you wash the tin, it suddenly begins developing a huge Adam's apple. A chef and her son grab the Adam's apple and rip it out. The chef and her son decide to make some medicine, which they give to Marilyn Monroe, and she starts to develop a massive Adam's apple too. Michael Jackson sees her Adam's apple throbbing and runs away screaming and jumps into a van with beer in it. The van is being driven by a big yellow hairy sun. Really see it. Make it silly, hairy, and let it stick. The hairy sun doesn't drive very well and crashes into a tiler, tiling his wall. The tiler's tiles are polka dot tiles. A tailor takes the polka dots off and starts tailoring you a polka dotted suit. Now recall the story and all the key words. If you didn't get it all, listen to it again and make the link stronger. See if you can do it backwards, too. What you've just learned are the first 12 presidents of the USA. You can continue remembering all 44 presidents just by linking one thought to the next. If you have any problems recalling the list, just make it more outstanding and make the links clear. Here's that list of the first 12 presidents. Number 1, washing a tin, Washington. Number 2, Adam's apple, Adams. Number 3, a chef and her son, sounds like Jefferson. Number 4, medicine, sounds like Madison. Number 5, Marilyn Monroe, Monroe. Number 6, Adam's apple again, Adams. Number 7, Michael Jackson, Jackson. Number 8, a van with beer in, Van Buren. Number 9, a hairy son, Harrison. And number 10, a tiler, a person who lays tiles, for Tyler. 11, polka dots, Polk. And number 12, Taylor, for Taylor. Once you have the list in your mind, go through it forwards and backwards a few times to make sure it's all there. You can also link more information to the list so it becomes like a new peg list. You could link each vice president to your presidents, just like we did with the foreign words and capitals. You can also connect your links or stories to some of the other systems that you've already learned. You can link more than one concept at a specific place or compartment on the car, body, pegs, or journey method. This way, you can remember thousands of words or concepts by connecting links to a short mental journey. It's so powerful because we use more of our creativity and imagination to make the information outstanding, therefore stimulating our interest and curiosity, keeping our attention at a peak. Each word reminds you of the next. You're making your own links, and you're only memorizing two things at a time. You can also use this method to memorize paragraphs of information. All that you have to do is condense everything down to a list of key words and then convert those lists into meaningful link stories. A whole syllabus or a book can be condensed into a ridiculous story. When you do this, it's easy to remember, giving you a great mental workout. And it's fun. Chapter 11. Remembering Names. Remember that a person's name is to that person the sweetest and most important sound in any language. That's a quote from Dale Carnegie. There's no such thing as a good or bad memory for names. There's only a good or bad strategy. In this chapter, you're going to learn strategies that can make a huge difference in your name memory. Make a commitment today to improve. It's also a commitment that will provide you with numerous benefits and save you from many embarrassing situations. Get rid of your limiting beliefs about your name memory and start to focus on finding a strategy that can help you. Become motivated and interested in names and how we brand people according to that name. Imagine you meet a person and they say that they'll give you $1 million if you could remember their name a week from today. Would you then remember it? Of course you would. We're all brilliant at names if we're motivated enough to hold on to them. The methods that I will be sharing with you have been used for centuries. They require you to think differently and to use your incredible associating mind. Some people say that they have tried association to remember names and it doesn't work for them. It doesn't work if you don't practice. Nothing in life works unless you work with it. All the memory champions are using association methods and can easily remember about 100 names in less than half an hour. I believe that if you copy the strategies of the champions, you can get the same results. And if you don't, you won't. The untrained memory is not very reliable. The average person leaves their memory to chance, hoping that the name will somehow stick. The strategies that I will share with you work. Use them. Now, if you want to remember names like a memory master, you have to focus on the four C's. Number one is concentrate. When you meet someone with the same name as you, do you remember their name? Well, yes, because you're interested in that name. You always hear it, and your attention is at a peak. The name has meaning to you, and you also connect it to yourself. If you follow this basic strategy with every person that you meet, you'll remember their names. When we get introduced to people, they normally say their name so quickly that nobody can get it. Take control of the introduction. Be able to really get the name. You have to slow down the introduction. Put your elephant ears on and really hear the name. Make remembering names something that's important to you. Oliver Wendell Holmes said, "A person must get a thing before they can forget it." You need to really hear the name first. If you don't hear something, you will not remember it. You have to first get it to turn it into a memory. If you hear the name and repeat it back to the person, you'll improve your recall. If you don't hear the name, ask the person to say it to you again. If it's a difficult name, ask the person to spell the name too. Listen and get genuinely interested in the other person's name. We are normally so worried about being interesting that we forget to be interested. When you become interested, you'll want to listen to the name. Learn to listen to people from their perspective and not your own. Not only will it improve your name memory, but your social intelligence too. The second C is create. You have to create an image for the name in your mind to be able to recreate it later. Have you ever heard people say, "I know the face, but I can't remember the name"? You never hear people say, "The face is on the tip of my tongue." We remember faces because they form an image in our mind. The names don't normally stick because we try to remember it with our auditory memory, our little voice. It doesn't make sense to try to stick a sound to a vision. Of course it won't stick. Plus, auditory memories are never as solid as visual memories. To hold on to a memory, we must make an image out of the name. Remember how we created images out of the names when we learned the presidents? When you give a name meaning, you can hold on to it. When you put a name into your mind and you don't do anything with it, it'll disappear and you won't be able to find it again. This is because working memory doesn't store information. So to store it, you need assistance from your short and long-term memory. You have to really think about the name to remember it because we only remember what we think about. When you're introduced to someone, you only have 20 seconds to think about the name and make an association. If you don't do anything with the name in 20 seconds, the name will be gone. The more connections and meaning you can give a name, the more it'll stick. Some of the names will naturally create a picture, like the surnames Baker, Cruz, or Gardner. My surname is Horsley, so you can think of a horse and Bruce Lee. My first name is Kevin, and it sounds like cave-in, making it easy to create an image and meaning out of my name. Other names may be more difficult, but by using a bit of creativity, any name can be given meaning and turned into a picture. The third C is connect. Remember that all learning is creating a relationship between the known and the unknown. You'll already know the face, so you need to connect the unknown name to the known face. When you see the face, it must act as a trigger or peg to bring the name to your awareness. Here are some methods to make the connection. All the methods you learn here take a great deal longer to explain than to use. The first one is the comparison connect. With this method, you connect the person to a name that you already know. Let's say we meet a person by the name of George. To make the name stick, we think of someone that we already know with the same name. Do you know another George? You may even think of someone famous with the same name, like George Clooney. Now all we do in our mind is compare the two people. What color hair does the George that we're meeting have? What color is the other George's hair? By comparing this one feature, you'll be able to pay more attention than you would have before, therefore making a stronger connection. Compare as many different features as you can, and you'll focus your attention and create a long-term impression for perfect recall. It's as simple as that. Just compare the two faces in your mind and you'll remember them. Impact your memory even more by imagining the person with two heads, their own and that of the person you already know with the same name. I like this method because it helps you to both remember the new person as well as reinforce the other name too. This method only takes a few seconds to help you remember the person's name forever. We're using the memory principle of taking a long-term name and using it to remember the short-term new name. Some people ask, what happens if you don't have a similar name to compare to? We can then use one of the other methods that I'll be showing you now. Find a system that works best for you. The second method is the face connection. With this method, you make a link between the name and an outstanding feature on the person's face. Every person's face is unique and every face has an outstanding feature. Let me give you an example. Imagine you're introduced to a woman and the first thing you notice about her face is that she has striking blue eyes. That will then be her outstanding feature. When she gives you her name, you will then have a place to put the name. Imagine she says her name is Janice. Then you make an image of the name. Janice sounds like chain ice. You then make the connection and think of a chain of ice flying out of her blue eyes. Here's another example. Imagine you meet a man and you notice that he has a big nose and his name is Peter. Turn the name into a picture, you can then imagine a pea-eater. Then quickly make the connection that his nose is a big pea-eater. By making a silly, memorable association, you'll connect the face and name together. With this method, never tell anyone that you've done it in your mind. It's personal, and some people may become offended. I remember once meeting a woman by the name of Hazel. She asked me how I remembered her name, so I told her. Big mistake. I said I thought of a hazelnut. She was not impressed. Remember, most people identify with their names. They like it and consider it their own unique brand. If you make fun of it, you're making fun of them. A few questions that people ask about this system are, what happens if I meet four people and all of them have an outstanding nose? Searching for the outstanding feature helps you focus on the face as you may never have done before. Most people never really look at the person when they're meeting them, so the feature is more about directing your focus on the face and making a connection. I've done a demonstration where I have remembered over 100 names in half an hour using this method. When you meet 100 people, you use many of the same features, but amazingly there is never any confusion. Go to Facebook to practice this method. There are millions of faces to choose from. Can I connect the name to the clothes of a person? Yes, but only if you notice the person's face too. People change clothes, but their faces are unique and don't change much. What happens if I find it hard to make a mental picture of the person's name? You can imagine writing their name on their forehead. Make sure you use a big fat red mental pen. It's all about creativity. If you create their name in your mind, you'll remember the name with as much ease as you remember the face. The third method is the meeting location connection. When we meet people for the first time, we tend to also remember the place that we first met them. The place makes a clear impression in our memory, but the name is nowhere to be found. With this method, we connect the name to the place where we met the person. We are using a journey peg to hold on to the name. Let's say we meet a woman by the name of Rose. Ask yourself, what will I remember about this place where I met her? Let's say you think you'll remember the buffet table. You then connect a big red rose to it, and when you think of the place, you'll think of her name. The final C, number 4, is continuous use. If you concentrate and get the name, then make it meaningful and connect it to the person. Then this will enable you to remember the name for the short term. However, to make the name stick in your memory forever, you have to continue using it. Talk about the name. If it's a foreign name, ask the person what it means. How do you spell it? Also use the name in conversation. The more you talk about the name, the less you'll be relying on working memory, and you'll begin to store it. In your mind, ask yourself, what is that person's name again? Get the answer and then ask yourself, does that feel right? Try to strengthen the association during the course of the day or evening. Review the name. Create a names folder in your diary, on your computer, or on your mobile phone of people that you'd like to remember. Invite people you want to remember to one of your social networking sites so that you can review their names. Review the names often to keep them in your long-term memory. It's just a question of writing the name down and where you met the person. Look at the list every now and again, and you'll have a massive name memory filing system. You'll never be caught off guard for a name again. You can use these methods to remember hundreds of people at one meeting. They're all designed to improve your focus of attention, because when you remember others, they make a point of remembering you. Chapter 12, Remembering Numbers. Here's a quote from Dominic O'Brien. Group a list of letters together and you have a word that represents something, an image, an emotion, a person. Throw a few numbers together and you have another number.
Numbers have become an important part of our lives, yet no one has shown us how to remember them. You can use external memory devices to remember numbers, and you can choose to outsource your brain. But if you're in business and you can recall facts and figures without referring to your external brain or notes, then it builds trust and certainty. When you remember facts and figures, it builds confidence in your memory. It builds mental strength, and it's like gym for your brain. If you call out digits, the average person will only remember about 7 digits forwards and only 4 to 5 backwards. If you have a trained memory, there are no limits. I can remember a 50-digit random number in less than 20 seconds and 100 digits in 45 seconds. I've taken my number memory far beyond all the limits that have been set in that area. Any person can produce the same results if they know the strategy. If you practice the methods and take pride in improving your memory, you can also develop these superhuman powers. Many people try to repeat numbers over and over again, trying to hold on to the number for dear life. They do more of what they've always done to try to improve their recall. We don't only improve with practice. If you repeat a bad habit over and over, it just gets worse. You also need a new method. We could use the number shape method to hold on to smaller numbers, but the method I'm about to show you has so many more possibilities and applications. What's easier to remember? American presidential candidates, or the number 347-294012157211110? Well, it's obviously American presidential candidates. It's easily understood. As soon as you say it, you memorize it. It has meaning and makes a visual image in your mind. The number has no meaning, and it's not very memorable. So to remember numbers, you need to give them more meaning. The systems that the memory masters use vary, but most of them use a system where you can change the numbers into words and then into images. We take the numbers and twist them into shapes so that they form letters. Then we turn the letters into words. Now, this system seems like a lot of work, but once you have your code down, it'll make the process of remembering numbers a breeze. The code almost memorizes itself. Stick with it and open your mind to a whole new language. It's also a great way to exercise your verbal and numerical intelligence at the same time. Let's get started with learning the number code. Just go with this process. It'll all come together in a moment. Let's begin with the vowels, A, E, I, O, and U. These letters have no value. They act as fillers or blanks. The letters W, H, and Y are also fillers or blanks. They also have no value. Just remember that for now. Now see the numbers in the following letters. You can listen and then lock in the images by looking at them in the audiobook companion document. 0 is the S, Z, or C sound. S sounds like the hissing of a wheel, which looks like 0. 1 represents the T or D sound. The T and D have one downstroke, and that can help you remember that T and D is 1. 2 is the N sound. N looks like a 2 on its side. 3 is the M sound. M looks like the number 3 on its side. If I make the word tomatoes, what will the number be? T is 1. O has no value. M equals 3. A has no value. T is 1. O has no value. E no value. And S is 0. The number would be 1310. What word could you make for 321? 3 is an M, 2 N, and 1 a D or T. We have the letters MNT or MND. Well, if we add the value I, we have the word mint. Or if we add a D at the end and the vowel E, we have mend. Or try the vowel A and add a Y. Then you can make the name Mandy. It's like learning a new number language. 4 is the R sound. Think of the number 4, and you can hear the R in 4. 5 is the L sound. If you lift up your hand, you have 5 fingers, and if you stretch your thumb out, it looks like the letter L. 6 is the J, sh, soft ch, or soft G sound. If you write the letter J in cursive, you can see the 6 in the letter J. If you've had too much to drink, you'll say the number 6. 6 is the J, or the sh sound. What word can you make with 654? Jailer. J is 6, L is 5, and R is 4. 7 is the K, or C sound. The letter K looks like 2 sevens connected to each other. 8 is the F, or V sound. 8 looks like the letter F when you write it in cursive. 9 is the B or P sound. Looks like the mirror and upside down image of 9. So if I say cave, what's the number? 78. What word can you make with the number 98? How about beef? Do you now see how you can use this to remember any number? You may be saying, but now I have to remember a number and a word. No, it's like learning how to read. In the beginning, you really have to work hard to encode the information, but then it becomes easy. Think of the number 007. Instantly, you think of James Bond. We're trying to create the same experience with all numbers that you want to remember. We remember concrete information with ease, so you're not remembering more, you're just making it more memorable. It will take a bit of time to master, but once you have it, you'll have it forever. In the audiobook companion guide, you'll find a list of words for each number from 1 to 100. This method is great because you don't have to worry about spelling. It works on sounds. If you don't like some of the words in the companion document, then make up your own. Not only can you use this method to remember numbers, but it can also be used as a very effective giant PEG memory system, too. The PEG list memorizes itself. Memorize 10 a day. Let's say you want to memorize 10 to 15. For 10, the word is toes. Think of the 1 as T and the O as S, then add vowels to make the word toes. Make a clear image of toes in your mind. For 11, think of the digits 1, 1, that is, D and D. Now fit in a vowel and we have dad. See it clearly in your mind. When we get to 15, we can make the word doll. Remember, the system works with the sounds of the word, so the LL sounds like one L. So I prefer to use the word tail. There are many advantages to knowing this method of memory. You can use it to learn 100 bits of information easily and in order. Once you have these values, you can remember any numbers and there is no limit. When each number represents an image, you can hold the number in your mind and place it on a system to remember as many numbers as you choose. I've also used this method to remember athletic and sports statistics, stock prices, and any key information relating to numbers. This method also works well to remember important dates in history. I enjoy remembering dates because it links historical events to a timeline. Once this information is in your memory, it's easy to correlate it to other events. With this method, I'm able to remember up to 100 dates in 5 minutes. Plus, this is just another method that allows you to trap your thoughts and make information easier to recall. Here's how dates are remembered. 1926, television was first demonstrated. The way I remember this one is to only remember the last 3 digits, because most of the dates we need to remember are all in the last 1,000 years. We take the 926 and use the code to make the word punch. P is 9, U has no value, N is 2, the CH is 6, punch. Now using the memory principles, we can imagine that you punch the television and it starts to work. 1969, people landed on the moon. We can see a bishop on the moon. 969, B is 9, I has no value, SH is 6, and P is 9. See a bishop walking on the moon and playing with the moon dust. 1901, the Nobel Prize was first awarded. We can imagine the first prize was made of pasta. Pasta makes 901. 1942, the first computer was developed. We can imagine a computer that looks like a barn. Barn is 942. The first submarine was built in 1801. See the submarine being built very fast. Fast is 801. 1784, the first newspaper was published. See caviar. Caviar is 784, all over the newspaper. This number method was developed in the 1700s by a man named Stanislaus Mink von Wendschein, who brought it to our conscious awareness. This method takes practice. You have to really work with it to make it work for you. Then there'll be no limits to your number memory, and it will make you more knowledgeable. Chapter 13 is called The Art in Memory. Interest level is measured by how much you remember. That's a quote from Philip A. Bossert. In this chapter, I want to show you the power of turning information into art. All of the systems taught in this book can be enhanced by turning them into a drawing, painting, or picture. When you use more of your creativity, you'll be using more of your memory. It's a very simple method. You take information and you simply turn it into some form of art, and the information is remembered forever. It grabs your attention and your mind won't let go. As I've said before, every word is a picture drawn with letters. Every word can conjure up an image that can be drawn, and pictures register very quickly in the brain. If an image can be presented in 3D, it adds to the visual impact because that's the way things appear in the real world. You can achieve this by using Google Images, by getting an illustrator to make you drawings, you can cut out pictures from magazines, or you can just use doodles. Any art can help you to remember more. You can sculpt your information, you can paint it, or even act it out. The whole process is about creative remembering and becoming more associated and personally involved with the information. Use the power of Google Images to create memory diagrams. Place all the images in a Word or PowerPoint document and view it often, so that when you look at the picture, it creates instant learning. Let me give you two examples in the audiobook companion document. The pictures are not professionally drawn, it's just a whole bunch of Google images placed together to make a linked picture. Have a look at the pictures and see how much registers in your mind. Link the pictures in a story, and it'll create an even stronger connection. The more deeply you think about any information, the more you will remember it. The first picture is a memory diagram of the 12 cranial nerves that emerge directly from our brain. The link starts with a picture of an old factory. Sounds like olfactory. The second picture is a man picking up a right tick to remind you of optic. The third picture is a motor with a knife in it. It's a killer motor. Sounds like oculomotor. The fourth picture is a truck with clear written on it, which represents trochlear. The three gems are a reminder for trigeminal. 2 cents for abducens. A lady having a facial is for facial. Vest being worn by a cock or vestibulocochlear. You can always add more to the picture if the picture doesn't trigger the whole word. The pharaoh has red lip gloss on for glossopharyngeal. The Las Vegas sign for the vagus nerve. The earrings are an accessory. And finally, the hippo with red lip gloss is for hippoglossal. These pictures are all short mental reminders or triggers to help you recall the main content. By looking, linking, and locking in the image, you'll make the memory link stronger and easier to recall. Try it. The next example is a picture that will help you remember the first 10 elements of the periodic table. First, we have a shiny yellow fire hydrant, hydrogen, with helium-filled balloons, helium, tied to the top of the hydrant. The helium balloons are touching the light bulb, lithium. The light bulb is burning the different colored berries, beryllium. The berries are being eaten by a smelly wild boar, boron. A car with a bun attached to it, carbon, that's crashing into the boar. Behind the car bun is a knight, nitrogen, and out of his armor pops a scuba diving oxygen tank, oxygen. The oxygen tank is being used by the woman with flu, fluorine. The spluttering and sneezing flu woman has a massive neon sign, neon, that blinks on and off behind her. Look at the picture again. Make the links, and it will be installed in your memory. If you want to remember the entire periodic table, you could create a few pictures, and it will all be installed. You can also use memory diagrams to help children remember spelling. There are a few examples in the audio companion document. Any information can be represented as a drawing, painting, photograph, or sculpture. Make an effort to turn key information that you need for your life into a picture so that you'll be able to easily see it in your mind's eye. Use art to remember. And have fun! Another great way to get your creative brain working for planning and remembering is mind mapping, which is a registered trademark of Tony Buzan. Your memory system operates so quickly and effortlessly that you seldom notice it working. That's a quote from Daniel T. Willingham. One of the best ways to watch your mind and memory at work is through mind mapping. When you adopt this method into your life, it'll change the way you think. It's a powerful way to organize information, to think on paper and get more out of your head. Tony Buzan is the inventor of mind maps and has authored over 80 books. He created this amazing mind tool in the early 1970s, and the method has evolved into one of the world's most effective learning and thinking tools. Tony calls mind mapping the Swiss Army knife of the brain. It's not only a method for expanding your memory, but a way to improve your thinking skills. Mind mapping can be used for memorizing, learning, presenting, communicating, organizing, planning, meetings, negotiating, and all types of thinking. A mind map is a multi-sensory way of transferring your thoughts to paper. It's incredibly easy and simple to use. At first, it may take a bit of practice, but then your brain will remember how to have fun, and your life and learning will never be the same again. Mind maps are a wonderful way of structuring information so that you can see the big picture and the details. With linear notes, which are lists and lines, you'll never have the flexibility that you have with mind maps. To be a successful mind mapper, all you need is the following. 1. Your brain. 2. A blank piece of paper. The bigger the better. And turn it to landscape. And 3. Lots of colored pens and pencils. The best way to explain a mind map is to map something out. You can have a look at the mind maps in the audiobook companion document. The mind map that I will be creating here is about all the systems that I've shared with you in this book. With every mind map, you start in the center of a blank page with a central image. This central image is what the whole mind map is about. Therefore, I'll call this central image systems. As we now know, images are memorable and stimulate more creativity. Step 2. Once you have your central image, then you connect branches to the central image and start branching out the headings. The main branches are all the memory systems we've covered. Step 3. Once we have our main branches, then we can connect second and third level branches to give more detail to each main branch. We can add even more branches to the existing branches to help clarify ideas or give more detail. Remember to use only one word per branch. This aids your associating mind to bloom freely, and remember to add lots of images. Each main branch will also have one color. This helps visually to distinguish between different branches or content. A mind map can never end because your associating mind can always find just one more memory. Mind maps are entertaining. They're fun and make use of your creative brain. If you choose to stick with it, you'll take your mind to a new level. You'll improve your creativity, planning power, develop more of your brain, and increase your powers of memory and observation. You can use mind maps for a whole range of learning areas. They can be used very effectively to summarize large amounts of information and to get the gist of what's being communicated. In the companion document is a mind map that I made of the book The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. You'll notice that each main branch shows a concept that we remembered on the car list. This mind map summarizes the key content from Stephen Covey's whole book. I created this mind map with iMindMap software. There are many mind mapping computer programs out there, but nothing comes close to the flexibility and usability of iMindMap. Play with it. You'll be surprised at how much you can achieve with this one thinking tool. Chapter 14 is called Using the Methods. We begin with this quote from Jim Rohn. Success is neither magical nor mysterious. Success is a natural consequence of consistently applying basic fundamentals. Now that you know the fundamentals of the memory methods, you can succeed with any information. By being more creative with information, it helps increase your involvement with the content, and it makes it part of your reality, therefore improving your memory. In this chapter, I want to share with you how you can adapt the methods to remember almost anything. I'll give you short guidelines on how to remember information word for word. Remember presentations. How to get rid of your absent-mindedness. Remember playing cards, and how to remember anything that you choose to study. Number 1, remembering written information word for word. Oscar Wilde said, "Memory is the diary that we all carry about with us." This is the method that I use to remember information word for word. If you work with this method, you'll be able to remember any written information with ease. You can use it to remember quotes, poems, definitions, or verses from religious text. Remembering information verbatim can help you in presenting, negotiations, or meetings. You can also use it to hold on to information so that you can call upon it when you need a bit of inspiration. It's also helpful in exams to remember key definitions of key concepts. Remembering and reciting poems is also a great way to train your mind and improve your presentation ability. Many religious texts refer to the importance of holding verses in your heart so that you can live the lessons being taught. In this section, we'll be using a quote called Success that has been attributed to Ralph Waldo Emerson. The first element of this memory method is to find the key words that will help you remember the rest of the text. Listen to the key words that I've picked out. Success. To laugh often and much. To win the respect of intelligent people. And the affection of children, to earn the appreciation of honest critics, and endure the betrayal of false friends, to appreciate beauty, to find the best in others, to leave the world a bit better, whether by a healthy child, a garden patch, or a redeemed social condition. To know even one life has breathed easier because you've lived. This is to have succeeded. Once you've found your keywords, the next step is to create images out of them and place it on one of the systems that you've learned in this book. Remember, it's like your imagination is the pen and the system is the paper. You can use a journey, your body, a car, or anything that's already in your long-term memory. You can even link all